servant of God, Margaret LeCoux, Virgin, Third Order. Margaret LeCoux, or Maggie as she was called by the poor of Belgium, was born at Arlen in Belgium on August 2, 1892. Her father had become an invalid 2 years after his marriage, and her mother gained a livelihood for the family as a school teacher. The family moved to Liège when Margaret was 17. At that time, she was attending a normal college, and in Liège, she continued her studies for 2 more years. Her brother and biographer, Father Marchand, then entered the Franciscan order. Before he left home, Maggie went to him for advice. She knew that her parents wished her to take a position as a teacher in a grammar school, but she desired nothing more than to continue her studies. Father Marchand suggested to her a life of self-sacrifice and renunciation in the world. Maggie made the sacrifice and found strength for it in prayer. She chose as her motto, "I want to live in the world to do good." She was a school teacher for the rest of her short life, first in a school conducted by the Daughters of St. Paul in a suburb called the Congo of Sering, then in a school of the Sisters of Mary not far from her home, and lastly in one which was the care of the Benedictine Sisters. During vacations and after school hours, she devoted herself with singular zeal, patience, and charity to the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Although frequently misunderstood, she persevered in her self-imposed task. Accompanied by her helper, Joan, she visited the homes of the poor, helped the needy and the sick by every means in her power, and brought about numerous conversions. To the families of the poor and rough Flemings, who were miners and employees of factories and railroads, she became an angel of charity. She lived with her parents in Hesbay Street, opposite the Franciscan Friary, and one of the fathers, who was likewise engaged in apostolic and social work among the Flemings, became her spiritual director. Maggie joined the Third Order Secular of St. Francis in 1913, and gradually she rid her soul of all self-love, embraced a life of complete self-renunciation, and surrendered herself unreservingly to the love of God and her neighbor. On August 7, 1914, the German army captured the fortress of Liège, and the First World War was on. Maggie had taken a course in nursing with the Red Cross a short time before, and she nursed the wounded soldiers in the impoverished hospitals of the Jesuits and Franciscans. But as soon as a semblance of normal conditions was reestablished, she resumed her social and apostolic work among the Flemings. When the war broke out, her 3 brothers, 2 of them Franciscans, were called into the midst of the bloody fray. Her aged parents were almost inconsolable, but Maggie repeatedly assured them that their sons would return home safe and sound. She was sure of it because she had secretly offered her life to God that he might spare her 3 brothers. God accepted her sacrifice. On Ash Wednesday, March 8, 1916, at the age of 23 years and 7 months, having predicted her death, several months before, she died of a mysterious illness and went to receive the reward of her self-sacrifice. Her 3 brothers passed unscathed through the war, although they were at death's door again and again. The dangers which they encountered were so great and imminent that their escape was truly miraculous. Maggie's life exemplifies in a striking manner that true greatness and genuine happiness come not from self-seeking and self-indulgence, but from self-renunciation and self-sacrifice. Her example demonstrates that in the midst of the world, occupied with many cares and activities, one can lead a life of union with God, unencumbered by the passing things of earth. Her life was and work is a practical exemplification of heroic Catholic action. Not a few who have turned to Maggie in their needs report remarkable favors received through her intercession. On the choice of a vocation, 1, consider how earnestly Margaret strove to know her vocation. Every person is chosen by God, the rule of the universe, for some particular state of life. God fashioned Margaret both corporally and spiritually for this vocation rather than another. God also predestined certain graces for her, the easier to fulfill the duties of her vocation. It's really important that every man enter the state to which God has called him. He who misses this vocation is not only quite miserable in this life, but runs the risk of losing his soul. Such a man, says St. Alphonse, is like a dislocated member that finds it very difficult to do its appointed duty. Have you ever thought of the importance of a vocation and how unfair it is to force anyone into a certain state of life? 2. From the example of Margaret, consider what should be done to know one's vocation. Margaret accepted advice, reflected, and prayed. One must above all pray to God, as did the prophet. Make the way known to me wherein I should walk. Psalm 142, verse 8. Be attentive to the voice of God, especially after Holy Communion. Try to discern whither your inclinations tend. Examine impartially the advantages and disadvantages of the state you have in mind, and the special duties and dangers connected with it. Consider your talents and the means at your disposal to carry out your designs. Finally, consider which vocation will give you the greatest peace in the hour of death. Do not act without having sought the advice of another in so important a matter. Above all, consult your confessor. Do nothing without counsel, and you shall not repent when you have done. Ecclesiasticus 32:24. Would that youth paid more attention to this counsel. Consider then that when, after due consideration, we have made a choice, we should not easily let ourselves be frightened by the first difficulties that present themselves. The servant of God, Margaret, entered briefly on her chosen vocation, bravely on her chosen vocation, and eventually she was happy in it, labored with much success, and merited a glorious crown in heaven. Every state has its difficulties, and it is in the beginning that we feel them the most. In time, however, we bear them more easily. The grace which God attaches to the state assists us, and later, what is in the beginning seemed hardly bearable, frequently becomes sweet to us. Should you have reason to believe that you have thoughtlessly chosen a state of life which God had not intended for you, carry the cross as a penance. It is the only way in which you can save your soul, even in such a state. Prayer of the Church. Hear, O Lord, we beseech you of your heavenly goodness, the prayers of your supplicant people, that they may both perceive what they ought to and may have strength to fulfill the same. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.